Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise. Well, let's see here. It's not quite time yet. No, I'm just gonna relax. Relax a little music. Relax a little music. Come to me, my melancholy baby. Cuddle up and don't be blue. Well, all your fears are foolish fancies, maybe. You know, dear, that I'm in love with you, yeah. Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun shines through. It's my money, dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else it will be melancholy too. Ba da da do 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 do. Ba da ba 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 da la da 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 ba la da 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 da. Oh, smile, my honey, be well, I kiss away each tear, or else I will be melancholy too. Let's sing it again. Hey, here we go. Come to me, my melancholy baby, and cuddle up and don't be blue. Wow, your feels are foolish fancies, maybe. You know, dear, that I'm in love with you. Mwah! Every cloud must have a silver lining. Wait until the sun shines through. What are you gonna do, smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear, or else I will be melancholy. Yes, I will be melancholy. Yes, I will be melancholy too. Well, we're doing something a little different this time around. Yeah, what we're gonna do is we're gonna do this whole podcast without any edits. I'm gonna set up the timer right now for 20 minutes, and that's it. We're just gonna do it, and either we get it done in 20 minutes or not. And there's gonna be no edits. No, I'm not gonna do any more post production on this, except maybe to throw in some videos along the way. Okay, so I'm setting up the timer. Just be right back. Here we go.
I might cut this part out.
There we go, kids. All right. Yay.
Yeah, hi. Well, Daughter of Godcast, episode 079, the crowd creation. This one's called Rabbit and Dog. I'm going to be half reading, half kind of just improvising. 2018 is the Chinese Year of the Dog. Has been for about 2 weeks now. And this episode's scene is a little homage to the Chinese New Year and also the year of our dog, Daughter of God. Hooray! We're changing things up this episode. A new wild ride, high winds, glare ice, hang on. You know what that refers to if you were watching last week, the live feed from Facebook. Nuts and bolts. So let's see here. So yes, as I was saying last week, I experimented with Facebook Live. I went for a run in the forest and fell down and several times, three times to be precise. And then I also went ice boating and took you with me. If you were on Facebook, you saw it live. So 2 days of adventure. And, you know, I have about 700 friends on Facebook, and there's about 80 or so people following the Daughter of God. The first time I went on ice boating, I did it on my main Facebook account. And the second time I did it on Daughter of God, I got more likes and comments doing these live videos than I have ever before in doing anything else, anything I've ever put up there. And that's even including the soothing that I was doing around the election, my soothing that I was getting into. I had this ice boating, running in the woods and ice boating stuff just blew that away as far as people paying attention. And I'm sure it has something to do with maybe the novelty of ice boating and speed and danger and all that. It's pretty compelling. But according to Jill Johnson, my most excellent friend, Jill Johnson, she really has been trying to get me to be a little more improv-y, because that's really what she feels is compelling, and I agree with her. I do. I like improv-ing a lot. I'd like to shift the crowd creation to a totally improvisational experience for me and you. The thing is about, you know, what I usually do is I write out the entire podcast or most of it for myself. And that's valuable to me because through the process of writing, I kind of reflect on the feedback, like especially for these scenes now, I reflect on the feedback that people have given me. And as I'm typing there, I'm thinking about, well, what does that really mean? And how does that actually, what does that tell me about the scene? So the writing is a way for me to really kind of work things through and also kind of sketch out a plan for what happens next. And by writing, I document not only my own insight into the feedback that I've gotten, but also kind of the plan going forward. So I can refer back to that later when I actually put some time back into that scene to make it mwah, mwah. Okay, so let's see here. Also by writing these episodes out, I would like make the editing of them, the post-production, way more manageable. Because if they're over 1,000 words, if they're like 2,000 words, that's like hours and hours of editing. And I just don't have time for that anymore. So that's why we're doing this. Like, hey, let's make sure we're focused. Why not? Let's just do that just in case I'm out of focus. Let's get in focus. Here we are. I'm pretty sure I'm already in focus, but it can't hurt to just check that because, you know, being out of focus, that's just sad. It's sad. Okay. So I'm thinking now, at first I thought, well, okay, after I do the writing, I'll kind of create an outline of the main ideas, and I can kind of just riff away on that outline, look at the outline, say, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't even do that. I'm just looking at the writing that I did for this episode. I'm just kind of like, oh, say, did I say this? Did I say that? Blah, blah, blah. And so I was going to set the timer for 10 minutes, but I thought, why not 20 minutes? And I'll try and hit as much of this as possible in 20 minutes. Let the orgone kind of flow. And so I get kind of the benefits of both. I can write, which I really enjoy doing, and clarifying things. And I can also just improv this and skip the post-production completely. And you know, there are people out there, believe it or not, who just read the transcript, who don't listen to me or watch me. That's kind of mind-boggling because look, I mean, me, I'm so much fun, right? Can you see me over there? Hi. So I'm blocked by this thing, whatever, in camera two. Okay, so still in nuts and bolts, still talking about kind of the process of being seen and heard. And for the first time ever, last week, on just kind of a whim, I boosted the Facebook post for Best Scenario Yet. And that's the idea as well. Hey, yeah, I can throw it in front of thousands of strangers, which is kind of the idea. I mean, I have all these awesome people that have known me throughout my life, and they're kind of paying attention to what's going on with this movie. I think that Daughter of God needs to be found by the entire world, wants to be found by the entire world, and so I'm just thinking about how to facilitate that. And okay, you know, I don't really like the idea of giving Facebook any money. Facebook is awful. I mean, the company and the experience of Facebook as social media is just the worst. And that's coming from a Chi professional, self-taught, computer-human interaction. Yeah, Facebook is a disaster. And so I don't really like to give Facebook any money, but it's what's for dinner. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. I feel like I want to dip my toe into all the different aspects of what's out there and just get some experience with it. I don't really want to just shut myself off from anything. And the results were pretty confusing from this boost. And basically all I can say from the stats that I've seen is that some new people saw Best Scenario Yet than otherwise would have. And so that's about as conclusive as I can get at this point. And it was kind of fun. And again, I'm pretty much groping in the dark at this point. I would much prefer to invite my audience organically. That's kind of the phraseology that people who do this stuff use. Organic doesn't refer to apples or celery in the world of social media. It means attention that you get without having to pay for it, okay? Like, if I post the ice boat video and hundreds of people look at it and get excited about it, those are organic results. If I boosted the ice boat video and had 10,000 people see it, those are not organic results, those are paid for. And if you're doing cool stuff and you're a little bit savvy with your SEO, search engine optimization and other stuff like that, organic results are easy to get. We like organic results because it's just people finding it in a natural sort of way, without pushing it in their face and paying Facebook to do its terrible thing that it does. Okay, quick thing about the most plays that I've gotten from scenes. I'm kind of interested in that because how many people are actually how many people are actually paying attention to what scenes? And that is also giving me a sense, as far as feedback goes, about which scenes are really working, intriguing, or whatever. So on Vimeo, I've got two major things that I'm kind of paying attention to, where the stats on the videos. On Vimeo, number one is Do It Again. After that comes Canyon Princess. And then after that comes Smart Money. And so Do It Again is the one with the two lovers in bed. Canyon Princess is the one with the beautiful goddess up on the canyon wall as you're going down the river. And Smart Money is the one with the bills and the pretty flowers and the slugs. And then on Facebook, so again, on Vimeo, you've got Do It Again, Canyon Princess, and then Smart Money. And then on Facebook, we have Open Season, which is the one with the deer. And that's not even showing up on Vimeo, really. Well, it's somewhere down the list on Vimeo. And then Best Scenario Yet was number two on Facebook. And then number three on Facebook was Canyon Princess, which is, again, the Best Scenario Yet, of course, was the two hands in the hospital and or whatever that was, whatever that place was. Maybe it wasn't a hospital. We'll find out in this episode. And Canyon Princess, again, the goddess up on the canyon wall. Vimeo plays are in the double digits. Right now, because hardly anybody knows that I'm on Vimeo and I'm still building that that presence. Facebook is in the triple digits with like 200 views roughly for all three of those. All right, anyway, so there's kind of the breakdown. So it looks like Canyon Princess is showing up on both those lists, which is cool. The rest, it's kind of a mishmash. I'm curious, again, as these things have been sitting out there for a while, what kind of floats to the top? That'll really give me a lot of insight about which one of these scenes is just really strong. Okay, so let's talk about redemption, because this is Daughter of God, right? And the Son of God came to redeem, you know, us of our sins. And I think it was J.R. Bob Dobbs, who said that Jesus saves souls and then redeems them for valuable prizes. And I'm taking a page from Bob Dobbs. I'm going to make an announcement right now. So first of all, I'm really, really excited to have such a solid contingent of dedicated contributors offering feedback. All of you people out there, you seven or eight people who keep giving me feedback, thank you so much. I could rattle off names, but I'm afraid I might miss a few. So you know who you are. I'm really, really appreciating what you guys are doing for me, because it's helping a lot. So now, not only will those people, you people, have my appreciation, but you're also going to have blessings from the Daughter of God. And as my friend Lauren DiCipio used to say, that and $8 will get you over the George Washington Bridge. That was back when the George Washington Bridge toll was $8. Okay, kind of get that? Anyway, and she would have been spot on if she had said that last month, adjusting for the rate of crossing the George Washington Bridge. But starting in March, which is today, dog blessings can be redeemed. Dog blessings can be redeemed for valuable products and experiences unprecedented in the history of independent movie swag. Am I doing this in front of the camera here? Independent movie swag. So if you've been giving feedback on scenes and sharing posts, I suggest that you go immediately. Maybe not right this second, because you want to listen to me and hear me and see me, but almost immediately you should go to dog.movie, that's http://www.dog.movie/bless, and go look at the cool stuff that you can get from the blessings provided by Daughter of God. I mean, there's a whole new thing going on, a whole new thing. And not only are you like going to have my eternal gratitude, but you can get stuff. and I've got some nefarious schemes in the works. There's only going to be more stuff. Cool stuff. Anyway, so let's go to the feedback for, what's the name of the thing we're doing? Best scenario yet. And so I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to pretend that there's a video right over here somewhere. Anyway, let's play the video. Oh, I could read this. That's what I could do. Two mismatched hands clasp across a stainless steel surgical table, one young and smallish, the other large, dry, and discolored by ill health. Over the sounds of a busy hospital ambiance, I guess it's a hospital, an unconventional farewell speech, the rasping voice asserts that his death is an illusion, a trick he is playing on everyone else except her. Well, I've totally given away that it's maybe a hospital, and that maybe the smaller hand is a female of some persuasion. Okay, so here's the feedback question. Is the person with the raspy voice worthy of trust? And what other impressions do you get? So let's look at what happened. Well, we got some feedback from James. He opined that raspy voice sounded like a gangsta. But since Small Hand seemed to be in his inner circle, there was likely trust between them. Seamus didn't think raspy voice worthy of our trust because he's either lying to the child or he's planning some mischief. And this is my fake Seamus voice. Whether that's for noble or nefarious purposes remains to be seen. Pam offered some exciting depth to the trust question. This actually really like what Pam put out there. This near-dead person, whether I find him trustworthy or not, is trusted by the person who comes in to hold his hand. They are close, grandfather, grandchild. They share that kind of generation-skipping secret anyway.
Snip.
Anyway, that kind of trust seems present here, and I want to know how this relationship will advance the plot, what their secret is, what the younger, I imagine, member of the duo will be called upon to witness, declare, accomplish, attempt, conceal, after the older one has dropped his body. Tantalizing. That's awesome stuff. Pam backs up James and Seamus's view while implying that whatever Raspy is up to, Small Hands is a co-conspirator, and that she will likely go through some transformation in the process. Awesome! Yeah, that's really good. Okay, now I may be reading into Scott's musings, but his feedback revealed for me a key dynamic. We, the audience, are invested in the implied trust between Raspy and Small Hand because we don't want Small Hand to be betrayed. How fascinating that something as simple as hand size can instantiate a narrative and a conflict. Because, you know, maybe I'm the only one getting this, but that's okay. Because now that I am, the scene can be tilted a little more in that direction. I want to just muse on this for a second, and maybe I'll repeat myself. I've been accused of being kind of repetitious, but I really want to say this again. Just these two hands on the screen and that voice. Brings forward these paradigms. I'm not sure if that's the right word. But these ideas of small people. Children are innocent and vulnerable, and older people may have an agenda, and yet there's this trust there between these two, basically just two hands. There's this trust that's assumed, and then we don't want that trust to be broken. We don't want the small-handed person, the child, to have their heart broken. And all that just from a couple of hands on screen and some talking, some raspy voice. So anyway, the trust question for that scene was action-packed. Here's another one. I was also really delighted and surprised by the reference to temperature. Pam guessed that the location was perhaps a hospital or cryo facility, cryo, cold, for slowing down or stopping metabolism for suspended animation, like in, you see it all, you hear it all the time in science fiction tropes, but in 2001, where they have the people sleeping in the little coffins, and there's kind of a little bit of frostiness on the glass there, implying that they're chilled down. Constance is new to the feedback. Thank you for joining us, Constance. Was waiting to hear a raspy voice counting down how many ice cream sandwiches are left in the body freezer. Now, I'm not sure what she means by this, but she's clearly experiencing a chilly vibe. Raspy voice is going to be frozen or is in the process of being frozen. So it's cool. Both Pam and Constance had this kind of reference to cold. And I mean, it's possibly the colors that are in there, the stainless steel table. But where did that come from? So cool. And this reminds me of Philip K. Dick's novel, Ubik, in which most of the characters are dead, but they continue to have mental function after their bodies are placed in cold storage in Switzerland, I think. And so since both Pam and Constance went there spontaneously, I'm tempted to kind of run with that that frozen Philip K. Dick suspended in a post-death mentation thing. I'm kind of thinking about going a little bit farther with that. And speaking of Philip K. Dick, Scott demonstrated his dedication to the cause by Googling the Philip K. Dick title that was on screen, Lies, Inc. And then he promptly fell into a rabbit hole and hasn't been heard from since. But bravo, Scott, for Googling the title on the screen. Ooh, it just gives me the shivers. All right, so Judith had a unique perspective about Raspi's death, to wit, of course he isn't going to die. Aliens are immortal, or at least very long living. Clues: type O blood, and the palm is obviously of an alien. Weird pattern. She, Judith, is an astute observer. Big points for her for being the only one to mention Raspi's ID bracelet listing type O blood. So maybe she's right. Maybe he's an alien. I'm not so sure myself now. Oh, this is so much fun. Isn't this better? I think this is better. Rather than me reading, just kind of, you know, here we go. So all of that was a blast to read and think about. The possibilities for this scene have expanded significantly. And have I mentioned that I'm really loving this feedback process? Well, I am. Huge kudos to all my stalwart contributors. And if you are watching these scenes and lurking in the shadows, come on out and have your say. Your hand will be lovingly held as we gently tug you into the limelight. I did read that, because sometimes I write things that are so nice I have to read them because they're so sweet. So yeah, I am doing a little bit of reading. All right, next scene, here we go. Anything else I have to say? No, let's just go on. Let's move on. Moving right along here. So the next scene is entitled Rabbit and Dog. An awkward moment between Look at this, no editing. Is this great? You just see me in just as I am, purely me. An awkward moment between two quirky people having their first private conversation. We've seen these two. Oh, looks like we lost recording. Stop.
And let's just download it. Let's just make sure we got it.
Hey, we're still rolling over here. I'm going to probably cut this part out, but I'm just going to check to be sure. I think I caught when this camera kicked out, because it doesn't go forever. It kicks itself out, unfortunately. So what I'm going to do real quick, is I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to say, stop. And so right now what I'm doing is I'm going to download the previous movie. And hey, while we're waiting, let's play a song. Hey, why not? Got another minute or two here. Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. Oh, wait. Actually, we might as well, I'm going to get the audio here because that's, your audio is terrible. Terrible.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete. and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me long, take me to your heart. That is where I belong and will never part.
Isn't making movies fun?
Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-ba-dee-ba-bom. Halfway. Ba-da-ba-dum-ba-dum-da-dum-da-dum. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
and true, all my dreams fulfilled. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
Big finish here. Well, not big finish, but getting last verse there. That's what I meant to say.
Love me tender, love me dear, tell me that you're mine. I'll be yours through all the years, till the end of time. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you.
Okay, almost there. So I'll just put this guitar down.
Little Elvis, Elvis. Elvis.
I wasn't really Elvis, but it was me singing a song that Elvis sang.
Elvis. Oh, baby. Oh, here I am, waiting for my little, peanut butter banana sandwich.
Okay, here we go. Almost done. And let's take a little look. Let's make sure we didn't miss any deliciousness. So I'm gonna come over here. I'm gonna say. Okay, there it is. I lost that. So that's good to know. I lost that little chunk there. Okay, so we're starting up again. Here we go. Everything's going so well. Mandango. Okay, and then remote shooting. And live view shoot. And we're back. Yeah. Okay. So just to make things a little easier for me, let's do a little sync. Sync this main picture up. Sync. And now we're back to the main camera. Isn't that fun? Okay, so you've had a little insight into how this does work. Not would, but does work. Because I didn't cut any of that, I don't think. I probably didn't. I might not have. All right, so you wanted it live, Jill Johnson. You wanted the live improv, girl. You got it. Yeah. And I'm just trusting in the daughter of God that everybody will love seeing all the little cracks and the cracks and crevices. So, rabbit and dog. This is the new scene. Here we go. An awkward moment between two quirky people having their first private conversation. We've seen these two before in Do It Again, so we know they'll eventually come together. There doesn't seem to be much rapport in this initial exchange, however. And here's the question. In Daughter of God time, not movie time, but in the universe that is Daughter of God, how quickly can these two go from this moment that you've just watched to jumping into bed. Minutes, hours, days, weeks. And what conflicts are you seeing in this moment that they're going to have to overcome to get to that place? So once again, how long do they go from this moment to getting into bed together? How long is it going to take them in dog time in the universe of the movie, right? Not in the actual movie time. Does that make sense? Is that confusing? That's a little confusing to me. Let me see if I can say that again. So I'm in the real world, right now. This episode takes about 20 minutes, whatever. But I could cut it up so that this episode only takes 2 minutes. But in the real world here, I'm experiencing 20 actual minutes going by. And so that's what I mean. In their world, how much time would have to go by for them to get from the place that they're at, this awkward, weird thing that they're having, to actually jumping into bed together? Minutes, hours, days, weeks, and what sorts of things will they have to get through, overcome, to get there? I hope that's clearer. What conflicts will they have to overcome? Just based on what you've seen in this scene here, how they're interacting. What their different perspectives might be. Okay. So now are you ready? Are you guys ready to play the feedback game again? Because this is it. Here we go. Later this week, I'll be emailing a tally of all the blessings that everyone has so far accrued so far. And so I'm probably going to send this out via email. If you're not already on the email list, then go to dog.movie and subscribe. And make sure that we're not getting tossed into spam. So make sure you put us in the non-spam category, @dog.movie. I think that's it. Anything else? So I want to just make a little pitch again to go look at the blessings, because did you know that signing up for the email list is a blessing? Yeah. And liking the Facebook page. There's so many ways to get blessed. I mean, the thing is about being blessed, let me be very clear about this. You are blessed just because you're a human being on planet Earth. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to jump through any hoops or say any kind of prayers or burn any incense or do any yoga. You are just blessed by being you. Just by being you. So that's a given. That's just the way it is, okay? Okay, I've said it clearly now. And the blessings that you get from Daughter of God are just icing on the cake. And it's fun. It's fun to be even more blessed. More and more and more blessed. So go and check out A, all the ways that Daughter of God can bless you, and B, the current roster of crazy shit that you can redeem your blessings for. All right, and now I get to read this last little bit because I have to read something, okay? And I like reading, so let's see if we can make it through this. Ready? Booyah! As a trusted co-conspirator within Daughter of God Cast's notorious inner circle, prepare to have your blessings counted. This has been and continues to be, for a few fleeting seconds, Crowd Creation Episode 079, Rabbit and Dog, released in the Chinese Year of the Dog, 2018, and not coincidentally, the year of our... Oh! What? And not? That doesn't make any sense. Hang on, we have to rewrite this. And not coincidentally... No, it's where. Ready. No, let's try it again. This has been and continues to be for a few fleeting seconds Crowd Creation Episode 079, Rabbit and Dog, released in the Chinese Year of the Dog, 2018, and not coincidentally, the year of our dog, Daughter of God. She is coming, and you are blessed by her for no other reason than you exist. You are alive on planet Earth, most likely, unless you're an alien with weird palm patterns. Don't ask me to elaborate. I'm just your not-so-humble host, proudly palm-illiterate. Alien or not, alien or not, the Daughter of God blesses all and those who are helping her to manifest, to come into our mortal milieu. By dint of the sanctified practices outlined on dog.movie/bless, they shall be well swagged. That means you! There, I'm done.